Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is great to be broadcasting back home from our flagship station, KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee. Hope you are doing great wherever you are, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we've got a lot going on here inside our Liberty University studios today. Wow, thank you guys so much for dropping by, saying hello during CPAC. We had a terrific time and met a lot of our great listeners, and it just reaffirms for me that we have the best audience in all of talk radio right here today. And we've got a great show lined up for you. It was great for folks to see our team, Kyle and Grace, working around the clock. Those were like 16, 17-hour days while we were down there. So there's a lot that goes into the show and when you're out on the road like that. So anyway, great job for our team and great job for you as well. So look, we'll talk about CPAC. I had a chance to ask the president, former President Trump, a question, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, because it does tie in with what's happening right now in this country, where in just under a year and a half, Joe Biden has ruined the economy. He has terrorized American school children. Bidenflation is out of control, and now we are on the verge of what could be a nuclear war in just a year and a half. So when the president talks about the State of the Union tomorrow night, the State of the Union is in chaos, ladies and gentlemen. And if we are not careful, we're going to wind up in some sort of a shooting war with the Russians. Now, what I'm about to tell you is going to cause some unease among many people in our audience. But I just want to get this out there. I support Ukraine. I believe that Ukraine has a right to be a sovereign nation. I believe they have a right to defend their borders just as we do. I believe that the Ukrainians are a good and patriotic and courageous people. I have no doubt about that. I mean, they've done a tremendous job thus far holding off the Russians. We have told you stories about the brave Coast Guardsmen on Snake Island when the Russian warship said that they were going to blow them up if they did not surrender, and the Coast Guardsmen said, go blank yourself. Well, now we know that story is not exactly accurate. As a matter of fact, Ukraine has been saying that the men were martyred, but now we know that not to be true. That story is now being questioned. We heard the story of the ghost of Kiev, the fighter jet pilot who was shooting down all of these Russian jets. Now that story has not been verified. Many of the images we have seen, there was video. And we shared all of this. We talked about all of this stuff. This is stuff coming from the mainstream. This is stuff coming from the mainstream media. This is stuff coming from Fox News. And we shared the video of the people with the Molotov cocktails, the Ukrainians throwing the cocktails at the tanks as they drove by. Turned out not to be accurate, because that was years ago when that footage was actually filmed. There are images of bombs exploding, of apartment buildings being hit, and many of those images have now been refuted. They have either been taken from another time in world history or from video games. There was an incredibly moving video of a young girl, a little girl, standing toe-to-toe with this great big soldier telling him to go home, this Russian soldier. Well, it turned out, now we know that video is actually from the Middle East, not Ukraine. So here's, I just want to throw this out there. Is anybody else getting a weird feeling about what's going on over there in Ukraine right now? Do you think we're actually getting the real story? I go back and I look at my fellow journalists in wars past, and you know where those guys were? They were on the front lines. They were actually embedded with the troops. But all of the reporting that we've seen has actually come from hotel rooms where they are on hotel balconies. They're not on the front lines. Now, I don't know what to make of all of this. It's possible that, and look, in wartime, certainly there is propaganda. But the stories coming out of Ukraine, every single story is sort of like a made-for-TV moment, like a Lifetime TV special. The images of the president of Ukraine, no doubt a brave man, no doubt about it. Those images of him in his military garb were taken months ago. So we are being fed misinformation about what's going on, and I'd like to know why. And I think that's a fair question to ask, seeing how we are on the verge of what could be a nuclear war. So something is not right here. And I'm wondering if it's just me. It's almost as if this is all being scripted, as if there's some sort of a narrative to distract us from something else going on. And I'm just curious. I stand with the Ukrainian people. I think Vladimir Putin is a monster. I think he is evil and he is dangerous. And President Trump has said as much. And President Trump, by the way, reminded all of us at CPAC that under his administration, no one invaded another country. Didn't happen. Ukraine was invaded the first time under Barack Hussein Obama's watch and the second time under Joe Biden's watch. So I want to open up the phone lines here, and I'm just curious if I'm the only one that feels this way, that something is just off here. Something is not quite right, and I'm curious why the reporters are not embedded with these troops. We have yet to see any of these armed engagements they've been telling us about, and apparently the war is only being waged at nighttime. 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. And we're going to talk to a lot of experts today, several congressmen, Congressman Mark Green, who's a military veteran, and he sees this for what it is. We sat down with him at CPAC, and we're going to play a little bit of that interview in just a few moments. But I want to go to the phones here. A lot of you folks wanting to weigh in, 844-747-8868. Let's start in North Carolina. Tad, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hey, Tad, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Not much. I'm just as mystified as you are.
Is it not strange? I mean, if you go back to the Iraq War and really, yeah, Afghanistan. I mean, the war correspondents were right there on the front lines with the troops.
Well, what I think is, well, the correspondents we have today, the so-called news guys, I don't think they would leave the comfort of the hotel, much less get entrenched in actual danger. It's so much easier for them to pull up images from the internet and make their stories look good. We know there's something going on over there. I think we're just getting fed a bunch of bull from news reporters who are trying to make their stories look good.
It is.
I mean, I have friends that live over there, and I have talked or messaged with them.
What are they telling you, Ted?
There is definitely stuff going on. I mean, bombs are going off, and they're in shelters when they're in the underground. But you know, and people are scared, and people have died. But they're not out there seeing what actually is going on. So. I think they're just trying to, a lot of the stories are drumming up support for Ukraine.
And that's my theory, is that all of this propaganda is meant to enrage American citizens so that we demand that our lawmakers get us involved in a war. That's where I think all of this is going.
And ignore what's really what's going on here.
Absolutely.
Ignore how bad it is here. Ignore the fact that our border is completely open. And ignore the fact that everything here is ridiculously expensive and it's getting worse. And it's just a way for him to excuse it. You know, we're having high prices now because of this war.
They're blaming everything. Tad, they're blaming everything on this war. The rising gas prices, it's the war. How much for a pound of bacon at the supermarket, it's the war. You're right about that. Hey, look, Tad, I want to go here because Robert, listening to us on WSIC, wants to weigh in as well. All right, Robert, welcome to the program. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I'm a physician in North Carolina, and I've been watching the news. I've been to the Ukraine. Actually on vacation one time, and I'm of Polish ancestry, so I understand the Russians, and I've been to Russia several times as well on vacation, and I believe that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal. I believe that he should be convicted of crimes against humanity, and I cannot believe that people have not come out and called him for what he is. And those are the two descriptions that I would use. I believe that the Ukrainian people are suffering. I don't believe that it's a farce, and I disagree with what you're saying. That
what do you disagree with, Robert?
Well, I'm saying that from what I understood from what you were saying was that we're being fed disinformation by our own media, and that they're giving us a narrative that they want us to hear for whatever reasons, whether to promote, the conflict or sympathy for one side over the other. The bottom line is the Ukrainian people are being attacked without cause. They're suffering. They're being killed, and they are could easily be overwhelmed by the Russian forces, which are superior. And I think they're putting up a heroic battle, and that I think that we should support them. I'm not saying that the United States should get directly involved, but I believe that if there are people that have talents that could volunteer to help possibly with the refugee crisis, I sent two letters in and several emails to the Ukrainian embassy in Washington, D.C., volunteering my services to help with refugees in Poland.
And that's a noble cause. Robert, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's worth going to war? Do you think it's worth going to war?
Well, we're not. The United States is not going to go to war for the Ukraine, okay?
And I don't know about that. I think that, Robert, I think that's why we're getting this propaganda out of Ukraine. And look, if I was Ukraine, I would be doing the exact same thing because they want help. They need help. My issue is
they need help, so it's not a narrative. It's a truism. The United States, I don't think the United States should get directly involved, but I think that they should support Ukraine with the armaments that they need, and let them kill every Russian that's out there. I mean, if the Russians invaded my country, believe me, I would take up arms and I'd open up the safe and I'd be out there to defend my country.
No doubt about it.
I have nothing but respect for the people there. I know those people. I'm Polish-American. I grew up, even though I'm third generation, I grew up speaking Polish and went to Polish school. And we have an affinity and a kinship with the Ukrainian people.
And Robert, let me jump in here because we are coming up on a hard break here, and I hear the passion, and I think you and I agree here. My issue is the fake news and information coming out, and that hurts everybody. There's enough heroism going on in Ukraine. It doesn't need to be exaggerated. But again, this is all Joe Biden's fault. The administration, this is what happens when you have a weak leader in the White House, ladies and gentlemen. You get not just national chaos, you get global chaos, and it's only going to get worse. And I hear what Robert had to say, that he doesn't want American troops on the ground. When this is all said and done, I would not be surprised if there are American troops on the ground. Should we go to war Should we join Ukraine in fighting the evil Russians? 844-747-8868. We've got a couple of lines open. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Hi friends, Todd Starnes here, officially inviting you to join me and over 2 million other active AMAC members nationwide. We've made AMAC America's largest organization for conservative seniors. We really dodged a bullet in January, scoring victories that stopped the big spending Build Back Better scheme, and we saved the filibuster from liberal mischief that would have hurt our seniors. But many battles lie ahead. And it's more important than ever that you add your name to AMAC's membership roster. So I'm personally urging you to choose AMAC now. You not only get great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, but at the same time, your membership will support your values. Go to AMAC.us/Starnes today to start your discounts. That's AMAC.us/Starnes to become an AMAC member like me. They need you, and America needs AMAC. Go to AMAC.us/Starnes today to start your discounts.
By the way, tomorrow President Biden delivers the State of the Union address. Sweet mercy, that's going to be a debacle. Anyway, what's interesting, they have officially lifted the mask mandate for lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. No one in the audience is going to be wearing a face burqa in the House chamber tomorrow night. Not a one. And isn't it ironic how the science has evolved just mere moments before President Biden delivers that speech? Because they don't want the images of Biden delivering a speech to all of these masked people in the audience. You know what the Republicans ought to do? They ought to mask up tomorrow night. That's what they ought to do. All right, let's go to the phones. Mike in North Carolina. Mike, I understand that your wife is from Ukraine.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Her brother is still over there. He is helping to take down signs, okay? They're actually painting over them. You really should see the pictures. Then, if you want to really see what's going on over there, YouTube has Ukraine 24. You might not be able to understand, but you can see the pictures and you can see the damage. Number three, her friends send pictures, and one girlfriend sent a picture of this huge hole right outside of her apartment complex, and by God's grace, it didn't hit their apartment. I have been watching, and I've got to see Zelensky every hour come on the TV and give reports to the people of Ukraine. And the Molotov cocktails, they are showing people how to make the Molotov cocktails. I don't trust any American news media. I trust what my wife sees and the information she gets.
So here's the thing.
It's a heck of a lot better than what you get in this country.
No, and I'm with you, Mike. And this is, look, we stand with Ukraine here. But what bothers me is the reporting coming out of the national media. It's all fake. And that's what bothers me. There are plenty of stories of heroes. Why is it that people are using all of this fake propaganda that has nothing to do with Ukraine, and it marginalizes what's really going on boots on the ground? And as a previous caller said, there was a time when war correspondents were actually out in the field and not sequestered in some sort of a hotel room.
Well, my wife sees what's going on, and we see what's going on.
Does she have family over there, Mike? Does she still have family over there?
Her brother is over there taking down signs in Kiev.
And they're safe right now. Everybody's safe?
Well, we hope. Anyway, if you want to know why there's so many Russian tanks going down, okay, and why they're not working, why they're sitting in the fields, it's because they're bombing the fuel tankers. See, you have a tank and you have a fuel tanker that goes behind it.
Oh, yeah. No. We get it, Mike. And we got to skedaddle here for a break. And God bless you. And we just pray for your wife's family over there. But that is true. That is accurate. They are taking down street signs so that the Russians don't know who to go after. Folks, we're just going wall-to-wall calls here. This is an opportunity for you to have your say. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. So Jennifer Griffin, who is the Fox war correspondent, is she pro-war. Jennifer Griffin is going after everybody at Fox, and she's actually fact-checking the Fox News anchors live on the air. It's becoming a little off-putting, and the folks over at Mediaite have been all over this. Jennifer Griffin says that she is here to fact-check the facts, and she's been doing that on the air really for the duration of this Ukraine-Russia war. And it's pretty obvious to me that she is in Joe Biden's corner. As a matter of fact, she's defending Biden's handling of the war. And what strikes me in all of this, she was being interviewed on Howie Kurtz's show, the media show. And Kurtz asked her, he says, look, is it a reasonable critique to call out President Joe Biden for not sending U.S. troops to the Ukrainian border? And she says, I don't think so. She says that, look, let me stop here for a moment. The whole point of all of this, Biden knew what was coming. This is not some sort of a surprise. We know that 3 months ago, the administration met with the Chinese and they said, hey, look, we've got this intelligence. Russia's going to invade. We need your help. And what did the Chinese do? They took that classified, secure information and they handed it over to the Russians. And so now you have China and Russia. And by the way, North Korea, and we'll get to that in just a moment, North Korea is starting to get involved in all of this. Folks, we could be heading towards a very bad time in world history. I remember, and many of you may remember this movie, when I was in high school when The Day After came out, and it depicted a nuclear attack on the United States of America. And it scared the bejeebers out of the entire country. Russia was enraged. But it scared a lot of people. Then you had the movie Red Dawn, which came out, the original one, not that, the metrosexual version that came out, the remake. But Red Dawn came out telling the story of a bunch of high school kids, the Wolverines, who fought for America and defended the country after we had been invaded. Now, Red Dawn, I think, is probably the more plausible thing that could happen here. And the reality is, and this is a sobering fact here, folks, our country has already been invaded. I mean, we have millions and millions of illegals. And I'm not talking about the moms and the dads and the little kids wanting to come here for a better way of life. I'm calling for all the grown adult. I'm talking about all the grown adult men that have crossed this border. You don't think people in Mexico are, you just think about this. A good chunk of this country used to belong to Mexico. You don't think they want that back? I know they can have California. I get that. But seriously, you don't think that Mexico could one day do what Ukraine did, what Russia did? It's very possible. It's plausible. Todd, people just don't invade countries anymore. It's a modern society. Yeah, tell that to the Ukrainians. See how that's going for them. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Keith in North Carolina. All right, Keith, what's on your mind?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's a beautiful day here, and I'm going to a fresh oyster roast tonight. That's what happens when you live in coastal Carolina. But the reason that I called is I'm going to assume what you said was true, which I do believe it is true. It reminds me, it's an eerie, what do they call it, an eerie reminder of children in cages during the Trump election time, whenever it was actually Obama's children in cages.
I do remember that, and then the media tried to turn it around and blame Donald Trump for it.
Exactly. You know, if you think you can believe the press, what was it they said? You think you can believe the government, go on a reservation and talk to a Native Indian?
That, Keith, it's a fair point. I mean, it is a fair point. Keith, let's move on here. God bless you. Good luck with the Oysters Festival. That sounds like a lot of fun. Jim in Portland, Maine on WLOB, the Big Lobster. Jim, what's on your mind?
What's up, Todd? I'm so happy to talk to you. I you know, even in some dark times here, I always manage to get a chuckle out during your show. I really enjoy listening to you and Grace. Got to tell you that first off. My call was kind of about, and I had a conversation with my kids. They're forced to watch CNN 10 in school every day, so they come home with opinions. But my heart and soul is with the Ukrainian people, and I am, you know, in their corner. Some of the stuff and the corruption that is just so disgusting over there in Ukraine, it's a cesspool. You're talking John Kerry's kid, Nancy Pelosi's kid, Mitt Romney's family, Joe Biden's kid. They all got oil deals, and the corruption and the stuff over there is crazy. These new reports of labs and stuff, and that Putin's going around and bombing and United States, you know, defense style bio labs, whatever they are. Sometimes you got to think, because the media is so corrupt, you know, you got to kind of say, where's the evil live here? And I know Putin's got his grand visions of grandeur, and he wants Russia back together and getting the band back together. I get it. But sometimes you got to wonder, and it's hard to know what to believe, Todd. And is he cleaning house over there? Is he worried about stuff along his borders? Is any of that true? You know, I got to believe some of it. I can't just believe that Putin's a madman and he's, I still believe that there's so much corruption over there that there's other stuff going on, too. And that's kind of all I had to say.
Yeah, look, Jim, there's a lot of truth to what you have to say and a lot of questions. And that's the problem is you don't know who to trust. And that worries me. Again, with this administration, we don't, you know, Biden clearly is not pulling the strings here. So the question is, who is it behind the scenes that wants us to go to war to protect Ukraine?
Exactly.
That's the question. But again, I don't care how much corruption there is in the government. I mean, we're talking about good, decent Ukrainian people. You know, they're fighting for their country. They're fighting for their neighborhoods. And I think that we do need to support them. And that goes back to something. And Jim, God bless you for the call. Thank you for listening. So we had a couple of our listeners last week, and they asked about this agreement. Do we have an agreement with the Ukrainians? And it turns out that we do. Again, we have the most intelligent audience in all of talk radio. So I did some research over the weekend, and we were able to find the original agreement. It's called the Budapest Agreement. Now, this was concocted during the Clinton administration. At the time of the Soviet Union breaking up, Ukraine became the third largest nuclear power in the world. And that scared a lot of people. So the United States and Russia, the UK, the UN all got involved, and they struck a deal. And here was the deal. Ukraine would give up their nuclear weapons in exchange for a promise. A couple of promises, actually. The first promise was that Russia would not invade Ukraine. Russia would not attack Ukraine. That was the promise. And then the other part of the promise, if in fact Russia did violate their promise and attack Ukraine, that we would step in and we would protect Ukraine. Now, that is not a treaty, so it's not binding under law. It's an agreement, the Budapest Agreement. Now, it seems to me that if that is in fact the case and the agreement still stands, then we have an obligation to honor our word. Does that mean we need to put boots on the ground? I don't believe so, and I don't think that's a wise thing. I mean, we don't need to be involved in a shooting war with the Russians, and I'm going to explain why, and we've got Congressman Mark Green coming up, and he's going to do a better job of explaining this than I will. But our military is not ready. Our military, over the past 2 years, has been undergoing a cultural shift. They haven't been learning how to fight and kill the enemy. They've been learning how to figure out their pronouns. They've been going through a social engineering petri dish, and they're just not ready. It's a dangerous spot that the Democrats have put our nation in, weakening the Pentagon. It's shameful. All right, let's go to Tony in Mississippi, listening to us on WPMO. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I was calling because I listened to Donald Trump's address last night, and he used profanity a couple of times. One was the BS word, and the other time he said so-and-so, I don't remember who it was, could kiss his you-know-what.
Derriere, backside, yeah. Hindquarters.
And my problem,
patootie.
You know, I mean, I'm a Trump supporter. I voted for him both times. I'll vote for him again if he runs. I think he was a good president, but he's doing the very thing that the weenies complained about. You know, his tweets, his language, he's obtuse,
he's Trump.
Impolite, he's rude, he's blunt, is it a good thing for him to talk like that? You know, at this point, I don't think so.
Well, Tony, I have a different take on this. And look, I'm a good church-going Baptist, and I've heard some of my fellow Baptists use some salty language a time or two. Should the president do it? Yeah, probably not. I mean, it's, you know, you got kids listening. I get that. But the reality is we are in a fight for our country right now. And I think those words coming out as a matter of passion. Trump is not a Sunday school teacher. He's not a preacher. He's you know, he is who he is.
But I just wonder how it affects the voters. You know, they're so sensitive about every little thing.
Oh, that is true. That's a fair point, Tony. To be honest, I don't think it's going to matter all that much when people. And I'm going to play a portion of the speech I delivered at CPAC. When people discover what this country has been through and what the Democrats have done to us, I think even a good church-going Southern Baptist Women's Missionary Union member might use a couple of naughty words, to be honest with you.
Well, okay. I just wanted to throw
Yeah, it's.
That.
I hear you, Tony. Yeah, I cringe a little bit, but you know what? He's a guy. He's, you know, that's how he talks. That, you know, he's from New York.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't bother me because, you know, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. That's who he is. We're not electing a pastor, you know.
You know why, Tony? There was a great column in the New York Post. Michael Goodwin sat down and did an interview with Trump. And Trump said, there's a reason why nobody invaded Ukraine under his watch. And he told Putin flat out that if they decided to attack Ukraine, that he'd be bombing Moscow. And Putin kind of laughed it off, and Trump looked at him, and I have to imagine he used some words we're not allowed to say on the radio to make that point. But you know what? Yeah. It worked. It worked.
Yeah. So. I agree.
All right. Tony, God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you, Tony. No, I get it. By the way, Grace, we got some mail from a listener. And I guarantee you she's a sweet church-going lady, and she's very upset with my language.
I tell you, got to watch you, Todd. She's a Lou.
All right, we're going to save this for the next hour, but she wrote me a hand-wrote a letter. Those of you watching on Rumble or Facebook, you can see it right here.
It's beautiful handwriting.
Beautiful penmanship. And then she provided me a list of words I should not be saying on the radio.
Is it not? Now, I know there's like a list of banned words on the radio if you look it up.
None of those words are on the list. This is her list of things that I should stop saying on the radio.
Does that include Baptist Martini?
No. That may be a follow-up letter.
Oh.
All right, look, we've got a couple of lines open. We've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identitycard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details.
All right, coming up right after the top of the hour news, my exclusive interview with President Trump. You're going to hear that. I had a chance to visit with the president. He came over and shook my hand, Grace Baker. He doesn't normally do that. He's like he's a germaphobe. He doesn't like to touch people.
He actually shook your hand, though?
Yes.
It was not a fist bump?
No, it was not a fist bump. He comes right up to me. Literally, the Secret Service guy was on my shoulder, and Trump comes right up, and he says, he shakes my hand, good question, Todd.
Wow.
And then walks out. The reporters are like, wait, what?
Have you washed your hands since then?
Yes, I washed my hands.
Some people.
He's got a big, huge hand, by the way. You know, that was a big joke on the, there was
huge
like,
hands.
Oh, he has like little tiny hands. No, it's a good manly hand, you know. I'm just saying.
Fangirling.
I'm refuting the fake news that was out there, Grace Baker.
Fair enough.
By the way, we had Governor Kristi Noem drop by, and Kyle nearly passed out. I mean, he was very excited to see Kristi Noem.
I'd never seen him smile more.
He was very happy. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Good for you. All right. There you go.
I was happy too.
It was a great weekend. And this was your first CPAC.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. First CPAC ever.
We'll talk more about that later. Grace, ready.gov has released some information on what to do in the event nuclear war breaks out.
Seems pretty, needed right now. Sure.
Look, I completely agree. I mean, you've got to prepare for yourself. You've got to prepare in case there's a big mushroom cloud over downtown Memphis.
Yeah.
And what to do. You should be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. According to the newly revised nuclear war guidelines, in the event of nuclear war, you still will be required to be socially distanced in the fallout shelters. And you have to wear a face mask.
What the? That is the last thing on my mind if I'm watching out.
I don't mind the socially distancing part because I'm going to be putting as much space between me and that mushroom cloud as humanly possible. You want to see a fat man run? That's it.
Oof.
I'm out of here. No, I've seen the nuclear war movies. I know what's going down. But my favorite part, battery-operated and hand-crank radios will function after a nuclear detonation. Cell phone, text messaging, television, and internet services may be disrupted or unavailable.
Uh-oh.
And this is why radio is so important.
True.
Because when they drop the bombs, we're still going to be here broadcasting.
Unless they drop the bomb on us.
and then we'll be vaporized.
Yes.
But at least we'll be wearing our face masks.
Oh, gosh. I know. At least we won't get COVID during a nuclear explosion.
Well, it seems to me the nuclear bomb would pretty much take care of that problem.
Yes, this is true.
I'm just saying.
Be the least of your worries.
Oh, sweet mercy. It's like, folks, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. A year and a half, and we're on the verge of nuclear war. All right, folks, hang tight if you're on the phones. We're getting right to you. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for folks like me. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. Now, Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you're going to get 60% off the Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You will also receive a set for as low as $39.99. For a limited time with any purchase, you also get Mike's softcover book free when you use the promo code STARNS. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. Along with this offer, you're also going to get some deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the mattress topper and the towel sets. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, folks, something is just, again, not right about all of this. Joe Biden knows he's been in the White, he's been in Congress, he's been on Capitol Hill, he's been in Washington, D.C. long enough to know that the best way to improve your polling numbers is to go to war with somebody or to be actively involved in supporting a war cause. And I think that's what's happening here with Ukraine. There is a new survey out, a new poll. And this is not from Fox News. This is from the Washington Post and ABC News. A strong majority now think that Joe Biden is mentally unfit to serve. The poll coming out just before the president gives his State of the Union address. When the respondents were asked if he was a strong leader, 59% said no, 36% said yes. In fact, those percentages resemble his job approval rating, which is catastrophic. 37% approve of the job Biden is doing. Now, get this. When asked about Biden's mental sharpness, in other words, the front porch light is on, but nobody's home, 54% of America says they don't think Biden is mentally sharp enough. What's wrong with all the rest of you folks out there? I mean, look, this is plain to see. Everybody sees this. Everybody knows what's going on. Clearly, Joe Biden is not calling the shots, and neither is that goofball, Kamala Harris. And that's why this is all so very dangerous, because we have a leader in the White House that people around the world do not trust, do not respect. They fear Donald Trump. They laugh at Joe Biden. That's the difference here. All right. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us. We're going to get to the phones in just a moment. I had a chance while I was at CPAC to ask President Trump a question, and it involves what's happening right now with Ukraine and how it could impact Taiwan and quite frankly, South Korea. Let's take a listen.
Mr. President, how concerned are you that China might move on Taiwan based on what's happening right now with Ukraine? And are there also concerns that North Korea might be getting a little anxious as well to go back in and reunify?
Well, we did very well with North Korea. As you remember, we were supposed to go to war with North Korea. We never came close. I got along with Kim Jong-un very well. We had a very good relationship. A lot of people say, oh, that's terrible that he had a relationship. Well, we had a very good relationship. We got along. And we didn't have nuclear holocaust. We didn't have, because he has a lot of nukes and a lot of different, and we know exactly what he's got, and it's very substantial. He seems not to like President Biden very much, and we'll see what happens there with China and others. I've been saying for a long while now that, look, I happen to think that the withdrawal, the way we withdrew from Afghanistan, was one of the most embarrassing moments in the history of our country. I actually think that if that didn't take place, you might not have what's happening in Ukraine right now. I think when Putin saw that, and when President Xi of China witnessed that, I think he has a whole different design right now than he would have had before that. I think they looked at that and saw it grossly incompetent. Losing soldiers, leaving Americans behind, $75 to $85 billion worth of the best military equipment in the world, leaving that behind. Having the military move first, I think it's one of the most embarrassing moments, and I really think that's a contributing factor to what's happening today in Ukraine, and I think it's going to also lead to a similar thing happening in Taiwan. They wanted to get the Olympics finished. The Olympics are now finished. Let's see what happens. You know, yesterday, bombers flew over airspace. First time in many, many decades that's happened. That would have never again happened during my administration. And a lot of people, even the radical left, I saw Chuck Todd said the other day, how come, he was talking to Blinken or somebody, he said, how come this never happened in the 4 years that President Trump was there? That was a shocking question. And they were unable to answer that question. Someday I'll write a book and I'll tell you why it never happened, but it never happened.
And it's true. It never happened. Again, that was the question I was able to ask President Trump at CPAC, and we always appreciate anytime we get a chance to chat with President Trump. By the way, CPAC, their straw poll, 59% say that they want President Trump to run in 2024, 59%. When you take Trump out of the equation, it's Ron DeSantis by a landslide. Even more people would support DeSantis than are supporting Trump right now. And I'm curious, I know we have a lot of Florida listeners. How would you feel about your guy, your governor, running for the White House? If Trump doesn't run, and again, all indications are he is going to run. But if he doesn't run, will DeSantis jump into the race? 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to the phones. We got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in, been holding on for a while. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Jerry on the line. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Can you hear me?
You're coming in loud and clear, Jerry.
Great. You know, I don't know what we're watching on TV. The struggle is real, obviously. Putin's demonic. God bless the people of Ukraine. But a month ago, when that story first broke, that the administration was claiming that Russia was doing professionally produced videos with actors, kind of a wag the dog thing. It was going to be of Ukrainian troops attacking Russia so they could use self-defense as a pretext for their own attack. Remember that? The first thing I thought when I heard that was that that's just outrageous. I don't believe it. And then the second thing I thought was, don't dismiss this. If we've learned anything in the last 6 or 7 years, when they accuse somebody of doing something, it means they're doing it themselves. Or they've done it in the past, or they're planning to do it in the future.
Again, Jerry, I hear exactly what you're saying. And a lot of the information, which is really not information, it's propaganda. For example, they're saying tens of thousands of Russian soldiers have been killed. Okay, where are the bodies? Show us some evidence. You know, we want to be able to trust, but you know what? I had a policy as a journalist, trust but verify. And unfortunately, there's just a lot of misinformation coming out on especially social media platforms. But, you know, a lot of mainstream journalists are disseminating that same fake news. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the more outrageous the accusation is, the more likely they're guilty of it.
It's like made for TV movies. Every single one of these stories is like a made for TV movie. And I mean, that's extraordinary. But we're talking about a war that's what, day six now of the war. And you're getting all of these, I mean, again, amazing stories all in one fell swoop. It just seems a little weird to me. Jerry, thanks for the call. Webb in Maine, listening to us on WLOB. Hi, Webb. What's on your mind today?
All right, Todd. A couple of quick points. Number one, I'm with you. Something about this stinks to holy heaven. If you go back to the scamdemic, the world operators knew that Trump was a germaphobe, and they couldn't beat him any other way. So that happened. But as far as the Ukraine war goes, don't we have satellites that can see what's happening?
Well, you can, Webb, but the problem is, you know, a lot of this stuff has just been manipulated by people wanting to be goofy. You know, they're wanting to be fun, and others are just trying to manipulate and spread propaganda.
All right. Well, listen, the idea, I feel bad for the people who died in the scandemic and people who are dying in Ukraine. But the whole point is Biden obviously is doing this because he has no hope of holding his office if he doesn't go to war. And you know, it's so obvious. It's disgusting.
It is. It is disgusting, Webb. And we deserve answers. Look, we've had a lot of Republican lawmakers, conservatives, note we don't question those credentials. They're rock solid conservatives. And they've said they've seen the evidence. They've seen the intel that says, you know, something is going on very bad here. But it's just not adding up. I'm with you. There's something about this.
We can't trust them either. You know, the old thing, when you go to Washington, you got to get along to get along. All this crap they feed everybody who's new. God knows what they have on each one of these people to blackmail them if they get out of line. I just don't buy the whole government anymore.
All right. Webb, on that note, we're going to have to take a break. God bless you, sir. And look, folks, that's the point of this radio program. We're having a conversation. And it's just, I'm sitting there and I'm like, something is just not adding up here. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're going to play the speech I delivered at CPAC. You're going to be able to hear that and some of the audience response. It was a lot of fun. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Time to check the mailbag here, and we love it when you guys send us letters, correspondence. You can also, you know, give us a call. I have in my hands here a letter from Esther, who is a good, decent church-going little Grace. I have no doubt that Miss Esther wrote this letter with pure intentions.
Of course.
And it's dated. Her penmanship is impeccable, by the way. Cursive.
Well, she's got a great name, too.
February 19th in the year of our Lord 2022. Mr. Starnes, many years ago, I used to use one of the words on the enclosed list until I came across it in the dictionary. I never used it again. I didn't know what it meant. You're probably wondering why I'm sending this list to you. Every time you say Jesus-aloo, I don't know how to spell it. I think of the scripture about using God's name in vain. I don't think that you are using or saying it in that sense. Jesus-aloo is using God's name in vain?
Does it? Because it's like G?
Jesus-aloo. Jesus-aloo. No, that would be, I think that would be bad. I don't think Jesus-aloo is bad, though. I don't think that's using God's name in vain. Let me continue here, Grace. I showed this list years ago in my teen class. I guess she teaches Sunday school, so this is the teen class. They were not aware of the meaning of these words, which should not be a part of a Christian's language as much as immodesty should not. Thank you for your time. Esther. She lives in Kansas, I believe.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Esther, for writing. She provided the list here, words not to say. And it's,
I'm ready.
There's an exclamation mark. So these are the words that we are no longer supposed to be using here on the Todd Starnes Radio program. We can't say G like, oh, gee.
G-E-E.
G-E-E.
Okay.
Geez.
Goes along with geez-a-loo.
Golly. Golly! That's my Gomer Pyle impression. Not a very good one, but surprise, surprise, surprise.
I was thinking of Goofy.
Gosh. Can't say gosh.
Gosh.
Because that implies that is a slur against Jesus or God. All of those GGs, golly gosh, are all offensive words related to God or Jesus. I've never heard of this before.
No, me neither.
I'm not allowed to use the word heck, H-E-C-K, like what the heck. And the reason why is because heck implies hell.
Heckin'.
Heck, no, just
heck. Live.
Heck.
Heck.
Heck. Oh, I'm not allowed to say egads. As
I don't
in
know that one.
As in President Biden just pushed the button. Egads, America.
I've never heard that.
That is it's a reference to God, very, and she puts she underlines very bad meaning.
Uh-oh.
Exclamation mark. I'm not allowed to say damn, darn, dang, or drat.
I get the first one. Do they all are they all supposed to mean the same thing if you use them?
I think so.
Oh.
I think so. Also, we're not allowed to say dadgummit or doggone it. Because that implies you're saying the word damn.
Really? What about is son of a nutcracker on there?
Son of a nutcracker? No.
Show profanity.
Son of a nutcracker.
I love that one.
Oh, you're not allowed to say shucks either. I can't say shucks anymore.
Shucks.
Grace, we're going to need a big tip jar. And so I guess if I say geez-a-loo, I'm going to be sending somebody to college.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I've got that much money.
Fair enough. Well, you better start keeping some change on you.
All right. So, well, there you go. I mean, geez-a-loo. Dadgummit, I said, good Lord. Wow.
Gotta watch your language.
We're gonna have to add the 7-second delay. So if I can't say, I'm not allowed to say geez, golly gosh, heck egads, damn darn dang drat, dadgummit, doggone it, shucks. Stop. All right, we will do our best. You know, it's tough.
I gotta watch
Grace.
You.
It's tough.
You're gonna keep Kyle busy over here with the censor button. I mean,
I
you
know.
Say geez a little all the time.
And, well, we appreciate Esther. See, you said it. We appreciate
Darn
Esther
it.
Sending this in. Come on, Grace.
I'm sorry.
Good Lord.
Man, what the heck?
Can we just end the show now? Is that possible? Noah writes in, our good buddy over at WPMO, that's ridiculous. She needs to relax. So, it is what it is. You know, we had a lot of fun at CPAC. One of the takeaways, I know a lot of you folks get discouraged about what's going on here. I get it. And it is a rough time in this country. But you know what I saw at CPAC? I saw thousands of conservatives who are filled with hope. Thousands. I saw people who are happy, they are determined, and they are ready to fight the good fight to stop these Democrats. That's what I saw at CPAC. And you ought to feel good about that. And you should be encouraged. Yeah, we're going through some horrible times. And the Biden administration is shoving us down a path that is very, very, very dangerous. All right, before we go to break, I want to go to Chris, North Carolina, who wants to weigh in on the bad words. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Todd. I don't care if you say geez-a-loo. I love it. I found out. They beat me, too.
They beat
huh?
you. They beat you, Chris. It's terrible.
Oh, my goodness. I don't care if you say
profanity.
Geez or heck. Or, that's why you say heck, so you don't say it all.
That's it. That's it.
Oh, my goodness. Some people are just everything, huh? Well, you know what? You need to complain to WHKP because I don't know how many times they've interrupted you with, this is WHKP. We already know it's WHKP while you're talking. I called them twice. They did it once, and I called them. Next thing you know, they did it again. This is WHKP.
Well, we want to make sure everybody knows where to listen. So, Chris, we'll give them some grace, and thank you for giving us some grace as well, Chris. Oh, geez, Alou. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Action going on today. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, Grace, we have to brag on Kyle. You know, after the show, we would go out and we would just, you know, decompress. We want to hit the town.
Oh yeah, get some good food.
Oh, and Kyle picked out all the restaurants, and unbelievable.
Yeah, I've learned he's pretty good with food. I can pretty much trust his opinion.
First night, Wolfgang Puck's Disney Springs. What a great area that is.
Oh, I know.
Very nice.
Very nice.
And this really, what is it, a Mediterranean steakhouse? The H?
Yes, the H.
The H.
That's pretty good.
All right, very good. So it's not a bad word. It's called the H.
It's called the H.
Yeah, we don't know what the H stands for.
That's up for interpretation.
Happiness? I don't know. Hootenanny? I don't know. Could be. All right. By the way, before we get back into the Ukraine stuff, and you know, yeah, we're on the verge of nuclear war and Holocaust, the nuclear Holocaust. I get that. But you got to have a little bit of humor along the way as we're waiting for the bombs to fall. Grace Baker, there's a problem, a crime wave impacting my neighborhood in lovely Germantown, Tennessee.
Oh, no.
And I'm curious if this has ever happened to you. So some people are very upset because the young people, teenagers, in the dark of night are running around ringing doorbells and then running away.
Ding dong ditch.
Ding dong ditch. Did you ever do that as a kid?
I rolled people's houses.
So you rolled houses.
I did. And I think I probably did ding dong ditch a time or two.
So when you rolled a house, who was responsible for buying the toilet paper? Because that's normally the person that goes to jail because they're on the surveillance camera.
Well,
at the
one
Kroger.
One time my parents bought it and my mom went with me.
Wait, your mom went with you to roll someone's house?
It was somebody that we knew would take it, and it was a family friend that we knew would take it.
Has the statute of limitations expired?
Oh yeah, this was like a decade ago.
So I had a buddy when I was growing up, and he was real clever. He would, you know, shop class, and he would make things, and he made a potato gun, which is a pretty powerful thing, and he was able to rig it where you could roll toilet paper. So instead of shooting potatoes, it would shoot the roll of toilet paper over the person's house.
Okay.
So you're basically draping the front and the back of the house with toilet paper.
That's pretty extreme. We weren't that good.
The number one rule, though, Grace, is you can't go with the Charmin or you got to go with the single ply stuff.
Oh yeah, because no one uses it for anything else anyway.
No. You got to make sure. Well, anyway, people are very upset. It launched this huge debate on the Germantown, Tennessee bulletin board on Facebook, of which I am a member. And the person actually posted a photograph. They have one of those rings.
Yeah, that's the problem now. You can't do it anymore because there's the ring doorbells.
So anyway, this lady says, if this is your kid or if you know them, tell them to quit being little jerks and knocking on doors in Germantown neighborhoods.
Little jerks.
Especially with all the car break-ins happening lately, not to mention they woke my kids.
Wow.
I think she's more upset about the fact that they woke up her kids.
Fair enough.
But, you know, this is interesting because I don't think this is harmless hijinks, right? But the way some people are describing it, it's as if these kids should be arrested. They're very upset about this.
I mean, okay, let's be real. Germantown, Tennessee has a lot of older retired folks. It just does. So it's, you know, people who go to bed really early, they don't want to be disturbed, they want to be left alone. So this is probably like a really big deal to them.
But the other side of the equation is, what's wrong with you? Let the kids be kids. Let them trespass on your property. Let them roll your house. I mean, so just think about this. I mean, we live in a pretty dangerous time in America. And I know this is how things used to be, but I'm not sure I would want my kid running around at the dark of night ringing somebody's doorbell. That could end badly.
That's a good point. And, you know, I guess it's just different than when I grew up.
And imagine if you're a woman and you're home alone at night and, you know, you've got, then all of a sudden, you know, the doorbell's ringing. And
this is true.
Who knows?
This is true.
Tina says, I wish we lived in a time where a 9:30 p.m. doorbell ring would make us first think, oh, must be kids out playing. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And I think she raises a good point. Yes, it's harmless fun, but in today's society, it puts the kid in danger.
It does.
Because you can have an overzealous homeowner come out there and think they're being, you know, it's some sort of an invasion robbery or something of that nature.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want my kid doing that right now. You know?
And definitely not rolling someone's house.
No.
With a potato gun. Yeah, that would be. I think the statute of limitations is up on that, so I can probably share that. You probably shouldn't have shared yours, though. That's probably, you know, still active. If you need an alibi, we'll give you one.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. So now they're calling the kid who rang the doorbell. What's it called?
Ding dong ditch.
Ding dong ditch. I love it. Ding dong ditch.
Ding dong ditch.
This kid is not a victim. He knew he could get caught the moment he did it. That was part of the reason he did it. The thrill. He got caught. I would be pissed. Oh, can I say that word?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I don't think so.
It wasn't on the list.
It's not on the list.
Pissed seems like it would be.
I would be pissed if this was my kid and he did this, and someone banging on the door would piss me off if I was the poster. My kids would be asleep, and my dogs would go berserk, waking my kids. And y'all who say this is like a long diatribe. And y'all who say your kid doesn't cry when the doorbell rings, come wake my kid from a dead sleep. The two-year-old loses it. This is a mom who is on edge.
I think there's more than just the ding-dong ditch going on.
It isn't normal. And he's an angry beast sleeper. What does that mean?
Angry beast sleeper? Oh, probably like if you walk up to him and wake him up, he's like, what are you doing waking me up?
I hate this guy, and that's the problem. They're upset because the woman showed the photograph of the suspect, who is really not a suspect. It's actually she shared the photo of the teenager saying, if this kid is yours, you need to have a chat with him.
I have no words.
I don't know. Folks, this is a huge, like almost 100 people are weighing in on the ding-dong ditch situation. Is it a crisis?
Ding dong ditch.
I don't know. All right, 844-747-8868. I'm just glad to know that, yes, we're facing possible nuclear annihilation, but by golly, the bigger problem in Germantown, Tennessee is a ding dong ditcher. There you go. Hey, folks, now more than ever, it is so important that we support companies and organizations that share our values. That's why we love Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, and they support organizations that fight for causes we care about. We had a great time with the Patriot Mobile people down at CPAC, and it was just a lot of fun. Good, good people. And I want to encourage you, and by the way, this is exciting. If you sign up, they're going to give you 1 month free. That's pretty awesome. All you need to do, if you want information, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Got to use my name, Todd. That's the promo code. They're going to give you free activation, and they're going to give you that free month of service. And they have plans to fit any budget, great discounts for veterans and first responders. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can give them a call. And by the way, it's not just a U.S.-based customer service team. These folks are in Texas, and you can call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, are the senior citizens doing the ding-dong ditch down there at the Villages?
No. No, I was glad you were in Florida, though. I wanted to come see you, but I couldn't. There's a lot of good things. I'm glad you went to Disney Springs. There's a lot of discount stores. People come in from all over the world. load up their suitcases because of the discounts and stuff. But as far as a ding-dong ditch, I set my brother up on a ding-dong ditch when I was probably 15 years old. And I knew this person was really bad and he hated people. So my brother went up to ring on the doorbell and I hid in the background behind a mound out in the grass.
You set him up.
He's looking at me ringing. As he's looking at me ringing the doorbell, all happy about doing it, all I saw was an arm come out, grab his wrist, and pull him in. Oh, man.
What?
he did the ding-dong ditch, and they yanked him in the house, and they chewed him up a new one.
Wow.
It was hilarious. Oh, man, I loved it. But his thing about DeSantis being president, yeah, I'd vote for him. If Trump wasn't there, I'm voting for Trump, but if DeSantis decides to go, absolutely. Without a drop of a drop of a dime, I'll definitely vote for him. He's incredible. He's been an incredible governor, and but I think I got so much to talk to you about.
I think Mark, we've got to get through the midterms, and if the Republicans can take care of business, and if we can win back the House and the Senate, it's going to be, I think that is smooth sailing for Trump. If we don't, and a lot of his candidates end up losing, then we may have a problem. But I don't see that as being an issue right now. There is some blowback in a few states, Tennessee, for example, where the MAGA crowd is endorsing one candidate and Trump is endorsing another. And then the actual conservatives of Tennessee are supporting somebody else. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But, I mean, if the Republicans sweep it, I think it's Trump's.
I think we're going to get the House, and I think we're going to get the Senate as well. You know, nobody's going to be listening to what Biden has to say at the during his speech. They're just going to be not listening to him. They're going to be listening to how he talks. That's the only reason they'll be listening to him.
No doubt about it.
This idiot has nothing useful to say.
All right, Mark, good hearing from you, sir. And we're going to try to meet up again sometime in Florida. And folks, we've got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play for you my remarks at CPAC. You'll be able to hear what we had to say as we were going after Dr. Fauci. 844-747-8868. That is our phone number. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Preferred pronouns are fried chicken and collard greens. The mayor of New York City calls me a cracker, but I prefer the term saltine American. And what an honor it is to be surrounded by so many gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving Americans. Now, in addition to hosting a national radio show, I am the proud owner of KWAM, the news talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. And we are proud to say that our radio station led the fight to stop Fauci's mask mandates in the hometown of Elvis. Now, today, for the next few moments, we are here united under a single cause, to send Dr. Anthony Fauci to the unemployment line. But what he really needs to be is doing 15 to 20 at a federal pen. Now, this man, Furor Fauci, brought a great evil to our nation, the patron saint of Wuhan, a godless heathen religion he set upon our nation, where salvation only comes through bending over to the federal government and taking a jab up your backside. Now, during the early days of the pandemic, I was still living in New York City. I just left Fox News. And I saw firsthand the lies and the distortions coming from the mainstream media. They said our hospitals were filled to overflowing.
that people were waiting in line in the snow to get a vaccine checkup. So I took my video camera out and went down to my local hospital in Brooklyn, New York. There was nary a soul standing in line. There was no fill to overflowing. As a matter of fact, the hospital said there were plenty of rooms available. And I shared that information on Facebook. Fake news. But as we now know, Fuhrer Fauci used that fake propaganda to shut down our schools and our church houses. They shut down our businesses, and they punished anyone who dared defy the teachings of the CDC. They told us we had to surrender our civil liberties in order to survive. Honestly, my greatest fear was never the China virus. It was how quickly my fellow countrymen were willing to surrender their civil liberties. What is it they told us? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. It turned into 2 years of misery. Fauci turned brother against brother, border against border, state against state. He tried to divide our nation. And shame on him. And shame on us for allowing it to happen. But over the past year or so, something rather momentous happened. We, the people, woke up. And freedom-loving patriots from border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, rose up with a mighty voice and said, "No more." And today, we are fighting to take back our great nation. And I have some great news for you. Breaker, breaker, good buddy. Because at this moment, we have thousands of trucks eastbound and down. Big rigs keep on trucking. And they're heading to our nation's capital, my friends. And they're going to be circling the big beltway. And oh, what a mighty sight that will be. But in the meantime, I want to leave you with this word of encouragement. The fight continues, my friends. The fight goes on. And when Dr. Fauci's goons show up at your front door demanding to see your vaccine papers, you show them a copy of the United States Constitution. And you tell Dr. Fauci to stick those vaccines where the sun don't shine. God bless you all. God bless America. And let's fight Fauci.
All right. There you go. That was what we did at CPAC. And Grace Baker was backstage and got to meet all sorts of folks. Sebastian Gorka was there.
Yeah, he's nice.
Nice guy. Congressman Jim Jordan and his wife. And
Very nice as well.
We were able to sit with them as they were eating a meal in that green room. They had a huge buffet out there.
That was cool. There was even a dog back there.
Is that right?
Yes. That's why I kept getting distracted.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay.
But it all makes sense.
Look, they kind of treat you like a rock star back there.
Yeah, it was pretty cool being
pretty
a wingman.
Nice. And then you were, so I'm in the makeup chair because they have to plaster all this goop on my face.
That was funny.
And you're asking questions. You're peppering the makeup artist about what kind of product she uses.
Hey, she's good at what she does. I want to know the secrets.
Oh, she's very good. As a matter of fact, She is one of Trump's makeup artists, and she was working at the White House, and she did Kayleigh McEnany's makeup and hair
yes.
and all that kind of stuff. So there you go. It was a lot of fun. We're going to try to put, I know C-SPAN carried it, and they've got the video of the speech. It was a fun crowd, really energetic, and you know, that's what CPAC's all about. They don't go to hear boring speeches.
Nah.
You got to kind of jazz it up a little bit.
Agreed.
What did I say my personal pronouns were? Fried chicken and collard greens?
Yes.
I was hoping to run into one of the left-wing blogs, you know, that follow this you know, our radio show and go toe-to-toe with them, but I guess they were afraid to. Go figure. All right, folks. Hey, coming up, Congressman Mark Green, a military veteran, is going to join us. We've got a lot more going on here, folks, as we work through this big international crisis. All right, stick around. Hour three coming up, people.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here are the latest updates from Ukraine. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program in our fortified news bunker here at our Liberty University studios. I'm not sure. I guess we could take a direct hit from a nuclear weapon, Grace, and we might feel a rumble or something. But this thing is pretty sturdy.
You've got a little more confidence than I do. So,
I mean, with the air purification systems and the we've got the grow lamps downstairs. Is that parsley we're growing? Or is that another cash crop?
I don't know.
Probably shouldn't talk about that on the radio.
No.
Anyway, good to have you with us, folks. A lot going on. The latest from Russia. So the United States now telling Americans in Russia to get out of that country, and Russia telling its citizens to get out of Ukraine, and specifically Kiev. All of this in advance of President Biden's State of the Union address, where, according to a Washington Post, or rather a Sunday Harvard Harris poll, only 36% of voters say Biden is fit enough to lead the nation. In other words, 64% of the nation, and that includes a lot of Democrats, believe that Joe Biden is not there. Whether it's dementia, senility, we don't know what it is, but clearly everybody sees this. We all know what's going on. And that's pretty much it. You've got a lot of propaganda coming out, and I'm going to share this with you, the caveat being that we cannot verify any of this information. The Ukrainian ambassador to the UN says or was reading text messages between a Russian soldier and his mom before he was killed. Quote, "I'm afraid. We are bombing all of the cities, even targeting civilians. We were told they would welcome us, and they are falling under our armored vehicles." So the Ukrainian ambassador says that this is an actual text message from a Russian soldier who was killed, and he was texting his mom before he was killed. Now, again, we have no way of verifying this information, and I think that's important for you. I mean, this is a tragic thing if it's true, but if it's not, it's just propaganda. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Are you buying what they're selling to us about Ukraine? Let's go to Bob in Georgia, WDUN, the great radio station. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Trying to dry out. We had a lot of rain yesterday.
All right, go for it, Bob.
I was just wondering, why do you think Russia didn't attack Ukraine when Trump was in office?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. There is a New York Post article written by Michael Goodwin. It came out last week, and he asked President Trump that question, and Trump said that he flat out told Vladimir Putin that if they moved on Ukraine, he would bomb Moscow. And when Putin laughed, he says, you think I'm joking? I'm dead serious. And that's why, Bob, President Trump played hardball with these. And that's what you have to do with these kinds of folks. Bob, God bless you, and thank you for the call. We had a chance to sit down at CPAC with Congressman Mark Green from Tennessee, a military veteran, and he has some big concerns about what's going on. Let's take a listen.
You know, Congressman, there is a sense of joy, of excitement here at CPAC. At the same time, I think people are very interested in what's happening overseas in Ukraine and our response to that. And, of course, you've got a great background in the military. What say you?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest disappointment is that President Biden did not learn from his mistakes in the withdrawal of Afghanistan. I really had hoped that, remember, John F. Kennedy failed at the Bay of Pigs invasion and then got smart for the Cuban Missile Crisis and handled that. You know, there were some mistakes, but for the most part, did it very well. Pushed back on the Russians, the Soviet Union. I was hoping that maybe Joe Biden had learned his lesson and that this would be similar to his Cuban Missile Crisis, but he failed again. And the encouragement came from his initial rhetoric. We're going to crush their economy, crippling sanctions that were only stair-step administered, which emboldened Putin, and then before you know it, he's crossing the border, and now he's murdering civilians, and, I mean, Putin is a villain.
What struck me out of all this, the New York Times, somebody in the State Department's leaking information to the Times, and it tells me they're very unhappy with how Biden is handling all of this. The Times says that the Biden administration shared intel with the Chinese, hoping to, you know, have some sort of a coordinated effort. And then the Chinese turned around and passed that information along to
Of course they did.
3 months ago. And yet here we have Americans that were put in harm's way. Biden should, 3 months ago, Biden should have been telling these people, get out of Ukraine. We need to start making plans now. But to your point, the lesson was not only not learned after Afghanistan, they're continuing the exact same mistakes as they did in Afghanistan.
Todd, I'm getting people emailing and calling me all the time. What about my Ukrainian wife? I can't get a visa. I'm an American citizen. It's the same thing that happened in Afghanistan. I mean, the State Department is broken. And, you know, I don't know. It's mind-boggling.
I guess the question is from, and I see both sides of this argument. Okay, we need to be involved. We don't need to be involved. But the reality is, if he doesn't stop in Ukraine, we are going to have to get involved somewhere. The Chinese, Taiwan, what are you hearing and what concerns are your fellow lawmakers expressing?
Well, to the first part of that, you know, twice last century, America came to the fight too late and Europe as a hegemon took control, and it cost hundreds of thousands of American lives. We can't wait. We should try to stop it as soon as we can. As far as China goes, I mean, very clearly, look, you know, they're flying aircraft into the Taiwanese airspace. Xi Jinping and other, really all despots around the globe are watching how America handles this. But I think the Taiwanese people need to be concerned. I was on, I think, Fox News the other day, or maybe News Nation Now, I can't remember, but I said Joe Biden needs to send two destroyers to the Taiwanese Straits right now, to the Taiwan Straits right now. Put them there. But it hadn't happened.
No, and I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, in reality, what will they do, Congressman?
Well, I mean, we could stop the Chinese. There's no doubt about it, but it would be a war. I mean, it would be a war with China. But, you know, we have a law, the Taiwan Defense Act, that kind of tells America that we have to act a certain way. It doesn't appear Biden wants to even follow that law.
Well, and then there's this Budapest Memorandum from the 1990s.
Yes. Yeah. Trilateral agreement, yes.
How do you, you know, and clearly nobody is honoring that. None of the sides are. You feel bad. If I were the Ukrainians, I'd say, okay, we want our missiles back.
Well, you know, it's not only that. Look at how India, I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff coming out of India, and we need India as a counterbalance to China. I think the statement from the Indian government is you can't trust the Americans. They always bail on their allies. So after Afghanistan and the way this has gone down, who can blame them? But golly, another dropped ball by Anthony Blinken. They should have gone to India 3 months ago, knowing this was coming, gotten them. Because remember, the Indians just bought the S-400. They were trying to keep a foot in each bucket, so to speak. And now they're you can't trust America.
Congressman Mark Green with us. Congressman, the other big issue I know a lot of conservatives have been focused on is military readiness. We've been so focused on these culture issues and the wokeness. What are you hearing?
Well, you know, I have to be a little bit careful because I don't want to embolden our enemies by describing all of our failures. But I will say this. Readiness, this is in the open source information, readiness has been hampered. And a three-star, I think it was a three-star admiral and a two-star, army guy got together, did a report, and they basically said it's detracting from readiness. So a recent study by the GAO cited massive readiness issues with the Navy. This is a problem, but we have to be a little bit careful talking about the details of it.
No, well, I understand that. But again, these are concerns. And
yeah,
we're hearing them from moms and dads who are sending their kids, you know, off to fight, you know, and join the military.
Of course.
And we hear it. And that's a concern.
It's a huge concern. But I want to say this. I will tell you definitively the bad guys out there should know. I mean, we're watching Russia now, and we're going, huh, we thought they were better than that. I mean, seriously.
Right.
I mean, they have botched this thing. I mean, the overmatch is so big, they should have done much better than they've done. And that's a tribute to the Ukrainians and their spirit to fight, and it's a poor reflection on the Russians as a fighting force. So Xi and Putin should just know, we're struggling with some readiness issues, but we're not afraid.
Well, all I can say on that Ukraine thing to wrap our time up here, our state, Tennessee, we pride ourselves. Whenever there's a fight, we're volunteering to
That's
be there.
Right.
And I kind of look at those Ukrainians as Tennesseans, you know, with the, with the grandmas and the grandpas out there with the guns and the kids making Molotov cocktails.
They are.
You have to imagine that's kind of, I think that's what we'd be doing if we were in a similar situation.
I am convinced of that. We've done it. Tennessee has answered the nation's call every time.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Good people, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Curious to know, I mean, do you think that we should be involved in any way with the Russia-Ukraine war? If you're looking at the Budapest Memorandum, it clearly states that we have an obligation. It's not a treaty, it's a memorandum, but it clearly states that Ukraine gave up their nukes in exchange for protection from the United States. So if I'm a Ukrainian, I'm like, okay, United States, you're either going to live up to your word or give us our nuclear weapons back, one way or the other. Should we be involved over there? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Want to read something to you. It's an obituary. We normally don't do this on this program, but I want to share this one with you. Matthew Lawrence Perna died on February 25th of a broken heart. His community, which he loved, his country, and the justice system killed his spirit and his zest for life. Matt was an amazing man. In his 37 years, he experienced more than most people do their entire lives. He graduated from Sharpsville High School in 2022, then went on to graduate from Penn State University. Matt loved to travel, lived in Thailand and South Korea during his life, teaching English to school children. He traveled extensively throughout Europe, Asia, South America, India, and the United States, making lasting friendships everywhere he went. He went on a mission trip to Haiti, and he also took many trips with his parents and brother Steve. Matt enjoyed conversing with all walks of life, especially the elderly. It was not unusual for him to strike up conversations with complete strangers, always eager to learn from others. Matt enjoyed running long-distance races and held medals from several states. He enjoyed reading every day, owned an extensive library of books. He loved music of all types, played piano and saxophone. He was an adventurer who loved trying different cuisines from all over the world and experiencing as many different cultures as he could. Matt loved animals, especially dogs. But when a sickly kitten made her way onto Matt's porch, he nurtured and cared for her and named her Hinok. He loved her dearly, and she was his roommate. He attended the rally on January 6, 2021, to peacefully stand up for his beliefs. After learning that the FBI was looking for him, he immediately turned himself in. He entered the Capitol through a previously open door. He did not break in, as was reported. He was ushered in by police. He did not break, touch, or steal anything. He did not harm anyone as he stayed within the velvet ropes taking pictures. For this act, he has been persecuted by many members of his community, friends, relatives, and people who had never met him. Many people were quietly supportive, and Matt was truly grateful for them. The constant delay in hearings, postponements dragged out for over a year. Because of this, Matt's heart broke and his spirit died. And many people are responsible for the pain he endured. Matt did not have a hateful bone in his body. He embraced people of all races, income brackets, and beliefs, never once berating anyone for having different views. Matt is survived by his loving father, Lawrence, his brother, Stephen, his grandmother, Rosie, aunts, uncles, and cousins who will never stop missing him. He was preceded in death by his amazing mother. Matt's family stood by him during this devastating ordeal and are extremely proud of his passion for life and his pursuit of many dreams. His actions last year are not looked down upon. Instead, his family is grateful and humbled by his courage. They say God never gives anyone more they can handle. That statement is not biblical, nor is it true. Rest easy, Matt. You are finally free. I wonder if Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger feel any remorse for their behavior. This vile committee that's been set up to go after innocent Americans. We've all seen the videos, at least the videos that have been made public. They're not releasing all of the videos, which, again, always makes me suspicious. But the videos clearly show people like Matt being welcomed into the Capitol building by police. That act right there, folks, if anybody committed a crime, it's the police officer who allowed them to enter the building. People's lives are being destroyed here. And, you know, it's easy for us to sit back and look at President Trump and marvel at how he handles all that. Can you imagine the hate and the vitriol coming at President Trump? Now they're going after his supporters. It's unsustainable. You cannot, folks, it's very difficult to take the arrows. And I know, I'm speaking professionally here, I know, because I get a lot of arrows. And you get used to it. But if you're a newbie, if you're someone like Matt, who was just there to support the president, and he was invited into the Capitol, and clearly there were hundreds and hundreds of people who were invited into the Capitol building on January the 6th. But I wonder if Liz Cheney ought to be held accountable for this. What about Adam Kinzinger, Nancy Pelosi? I mean, it's her committee. Where is the remorse? Where are the people going and comforting this family? It's a sad thing. By all accounts, good Christian man. Wrong place, wrong time, your life is over. That's not right in my estimation. But you're not going to hear Matt's name, Perna's name. You're not going to hear Matt's name on the national news, except to know that he died, 37 years old. His life was destroyed to score cheap political points. Was it worth it, Democrats? Was it worth it, Nancy Pelosi? Was it worth it, Liz Cheney? Was it worth it, Adam Kinzinger? What about you, Mitt Romney? Was it worth it? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Grace Baker's an uptown girl. Oh, well, Billy Joel there.
The other week you called me a country girl. This is much more accurate.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're modern, hip, you're chic.
Thanks, Todd.
That's good. And, yeah.
You're in a good mood.
You did a great job. Well, you know, I don't know why I'm in a good mood. I think I'm on drugs. So after the Trump speech, I took a, it wasn't really a tumble. I just stepped off a step wrong or something and blew out my knee. So I've been popping Tylenol.
Yikes.
Extra strength. So I guess I am in a good mood. Mm. Hey, you know, I was I don't want to say what airline. Well, what the heck? I was flying Delta, and I have to tell you, I'm very, very happy with Delta. You know, they're not enforcing the mask mandates.
Look at that.
you know, I forgot to take my mask, put my mask on, and nobody cared. Nobody cared.
That's nice.
Walking around the airport, nobody cared at the Orlando International Airport. Sweet mercy. Were there like, you know, 8 million people at the Orlando airport when you guys were there?
Yes, which we were very surprised. Luckily, they were moving folks along really quickly, but it was not what I was expecting.
So one of the things I love about the Orlando International Airport, I'm a member of CLEAR. You can go the regular route and wait in line for 75 minutes, or you could do TSA PreCheck, which is a little bit better. Or you can do CLEAR, and that's where they have your fingerprints, and you just plop your fingers down, and boom, you're done.
That's pretty great.
In and out. I was literally, it took 3 minutes from stop, and I highly recommend it. The problem is they're not in a lot of airports like Memphis International. They do not have CLEAR. I wish they would.
So what do you do then? Just go to...
You have to go to TSA PreCheck.
Okay, so they just bump you down a little.
Which I let mine expire, and it was an act of Congress to get that thing renewed. Oh, but fortunately, it happened. I got renewed over the weekend.
Good.
So, which was nice. Good. But then I saw they had CLEAR, so I'm like, oh, great, I'll just go through there. It's so much faster.
Good to know.
But anyway, we're on the airplane coming back. It was a late flight. And there were some CPAC people on the plane, and you could sort of tell. By the way, because everybody is just so darn polite. Oh,
fair.
I can't say that word, can I? Whoops, doggone it. I said doggone it to Jeez-a-loo. Oh, wait. Oh, man. Come on. Come on. This is not funny.
Can you say come on, man?
Stop.
Oh,
stop. So
oh,
anyway. So I'm sitting there in my seat, and you know, every now and again people come like, oh, huge fan of yours, you know, that's very nice, and we love meeting people. But normally I'm pretty quiet. So two stories out of all of this, Grace. There was a guy who came on board in a cowboy hat, and you know, the big belt buckle. You knew the guy was from Texas, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, and he was like clearly, and the name of his company was like emblazoned on the hat and the shirt, everything.
Good advertising.
So, right. And so anyway, there are people who are talking loudly. I mean, that's kind of a bee in my bonnet. But anyway, they were talking loud enough for us to hear three rows back. So it's not like I was eavesdropping. But anyway, the lady, I don't know if she was just being overly nice or if there was, you know,
something else going on.
Oh, you're a rancher.
Alternative motives.
Do you ride a horse? You know, I mean, cowboy. It was one of those kinds of things.
Gosh.
And so anyway, he said, yeah, he was in the beef industry. And so she goes, this is great. And the entire first class cabin heard this conversation. She goes, so you're in the beef. You have a lot of cattle. He says, oh, no, ma'am. I'm in the bull business. We sell bull sperm.
Ew.
The entire...
Yeah, I don't think that should be allowed on
the
radio.
The entire cabin just went
silent. You gotta watch that kind of language.
Just went
here. Silent.
Oh, you must be a rancher like on Yellowstone. Nope, sell bull sperm.
Yuck.
Second story. Layover flight in Atlanta. This is great. They're telling us, we're flying in. If you've been to Atlanta, you know how god-awful it is to get from plane A to plane B. So, Grace, we're landing, and the pilot says, we're landing at gate A-20, and my connecting flight to Memphis, A-17.
Oh.
We land, and we park, and we wait, and wait, and wait. And finally, they said, hey, it's not going to be A-17. We're going to E-17. So it took like, you know, 25, 30 minutes to get from point A to point B.
Jeez,
barely made the flight, but you know who got bumped from first class? And was not very happy about it.
Who?
Jerry the King Lawler.
No way.
On the plane. Flying coach.
Wow.
Nice enough guy, though.
What a world.
He was, everybody was whispering, oh, that's Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, of course. He's a local celebrity.
Oh, huge, huge. He's got the barbecue joint, too. Did you know that?
Yes, he does.
Have you been to that barbecue joint?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I'm sorry. It gave me the vibes of tourist spot.
Yeah, well, yes, it's down on Beale Street. He's got Jerry the King Lawler. But anyway, I thought it was funny. He's not as tall as I thought he was going to be.
He's stocky.
Yeah, he is stocky. And great guy. I mean, these airlines can be. I mean, they're just jerks about everything anyway. And I thought he handled it very classy. And he was just a good guy. And he was happy to talk to people. And I like that. You know, that's important.
know, you're out there, you're on TV, you're a celebrity, you're doing whatever. You got to take the time to, you know, meet folks.
Now, Todd, I don't mean to interrupt, but you know how I peruse Twitter.
Yes.
While we're doing the show.
Oh, is that what you're doing? I'm like, yes. Why is Grace never paying attention to what I'm saying?
I'm paying attention. I'm multitasking.
Oh, okay.
So, and trust me, you're going to want to hear this once we get this audio, but Joe Biden just introduced Kamala Harris as the president of the United States.
No, she did not.
At the Black History Month
celebration. No, she did not.
I'm not kidding.
No, she did not.
That's why I kept looking. I was like,
wait, do we have this audio?
We're working on it.
All right.
Momentarily.
All right. Well, in the meantime, oh my God. All right. In the meantime, I do want to play some audio from an interview we did with Liberty University's Dean of the School of Law. Now, he's been on our show before, Dr. Morris Tan. He is a former State Department official. The guy is brilliant and has some interesting observations about what's happening with Ukraine and China as well. Let's take a listen. Dr. Tan, you were on the main stage here at CPAC talking about a very different area of the world. All the focus is on Ukraine right now, but you're concerned about some things that are happening in Korea, South Korea.
Yes, indeed. In Korea, you have a major threat in the form of North Korea, which people don't realize is the fourth largest military in the world, and they have a lot of anti-American, anti-South Korean, and anti-Japanese propaganda that they pump out. If you can believe it, North Korean arithmetic is you have a platoon of 30 American soldiers, you throw a hand grenade and kill 16 of them. How many are left? This is North Korean arithmetic. And so people have to realize that this is one of the bastions of communism left in the world, which they are trying to impose by force on South Korea. And then you have a South Korean presidential election where they need to decide whether they're going to go in a more communist direction or whether they're going to be more aligned with the United States of America and our systems, or whether they're going to be more like North Korea and in communist China's orbit. These are grave concerns.
It seems shocking what you were saying here. I mean, that South Korea would ever consider wanting to lean more towards communism based on what has happened and in the history going back to the 1950s.
Yes. What I said on the main stage here is that this is insanity, because every time communism has been tried, it has meant a communist elite bourgeoisie crushing the proletariat, to use their own terminology, after seizing all the property. This is what communists do. And this is what has happened, and it's been a disaster everywhere it's ever been tried. And if a definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, veering towards communism would be insane.
And here's what concerns me, Dr. Tan. When you look at world events, let's just say that Putin does want to reestablish the Soviet Union. I don't see the United States stopping him from doing that. Then you have a situation with China, which has already sided with the Russians. It seems to me they would be more inclined to go into Taiwan and take Taiwan back over. And at that point, you have to wonder, okay, what about North Korea? Would they try to reunify the country?
You know, this really shows that peace through strength, which Reagan had put forth very aptly, and which President Trump had also put forth in various ways, makes a lot of sense when you're dealing with these sorts of autocrats like Putin and like Xi, who are colluding together along these lines. And just as Putin is going in to seize Ukraine illegally as aggressive war, so Xi is also preparing potentially to take over Taiwan, which the last administration had recognized as an independent sovereign country for the first time in decades, which is why I was able to host an ambassadorial delegation and meet with them, which was not the case previous to that announcement being made in the previous administration.
I mean, it's, again, peace through strength. I don't think we've been able to accomplish that in the Biden administration. The foreign policy is all over the place. I mean, you spent some time in the State Department under the Trump administration. What are you hearing from your colleagues, or maybe former colleagues, who are, you know, still in the know?
Well, you know, you are having basically an invitation to aggression through weakness. That's the contrast. You are having an invitation for aggression through weakness. And the United States being the most powerful country in the world, this is a disgrace. This should not be the case. And yet you have these aggressive rulers who are licking their chops right now because they see a weak administration in the United States of America, and Americans should be aghast at what is going on. The disaster in Afghanistan, now Ukraine, is Taiwan next? Is North Korea going to jump in? These are all possibilities. And a couple of, one is going on right now, the disaster in Afghanistan. We watched in horror as that unfolded. And this is a disaster.
All right, Dr. Tan, thank you so very much. We appreciate your time here. Dr. Horst Tan from Liberty University School of Law, the Dean of the School of Law. Dr. Tan, thank you.
My pleasure.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Folks, coming up tomorrow, Congressman Ralph Norman on the program. It's always fun to talk with our friend from South Carolina. By the way, next week, we will be in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. We'll be broadcasting the show from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Grace Baker will be there, Caleb Park, our managing editor. So you'll have an opportunity to meet the entire team. You can actually come out and watch the live broadcast. You don't even have to have a registration for the conference. We'll be over at the Gaylord, which used to be called Opryland, the Opryland Hotel. I still call it the Opryland Hotel. So, and that'll be next week, and so we hope to see all you folks out there. Then we are off to California, Santa Barbara, and I'll be speaking to young people at the Young Americas Foundation. We always love getting out and meeting all of our listeners, and it's just really a joy, and we really appreciate you guys coming out and visiting with us. Senator Mitt Romney, very unhappy with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar. They are coming under fire because they spoke at a conference hosted by Nick Fuentes, who is a white nationalist. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is defending her appearance. She says, I don't know what his views are, so I'm not aligned with anything that may be controversial. I went to his event last night to address his very large following, because that is a young, very young following and a generation I am extremely concerned about. Liz Cheney, well, hold on, Mitt Romney called her a moron. Liz Cheney says, as Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar speak at this white supremacist, anti-Semitic, pro-Putin event, silence by Republican Party leaders is deafening and enabling. All Americans should renounce this garbage and reject the Putin wing of the GOP now. So now, just in case you're keeping track here, you're keeping score, now if you raise questions about what's happening in Ukraine, for example, you become pro-Putin. If you don't want American troops on the ground, all of a sudden you're pro-communism. It's ludicrous, and it's sad to see Liz Cheney jumping in here. But again, I don't know why Marjorie Taylor Greene would speak at an organization like that. I certainly would not. And it seems to me that whoever made the arrangements on her staff, that person probably needs to be given the heave-ho. But I just don't see how you can be pro. I don't see how you can be pro-choice and an anti-Semite and be a part of the Republican Party. I just don't get that. I do not get that. But there are some people that that's what they believe. And that's sickening and disgusting. So anyway, Republicans, and just hear me out here, if you're running for office, be smart. Don't do stupid stuff. I mean, how difficult is that? The Washington Post headline, two Republican members of Congress participated in a white nationalist conference. Mitt Romney called them morons. Morons, I have morons on my team, Romney said. You know, if Romney and Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, and Adam Kinzinger, if they spent as much time attacking the left as they do members of their own party, maybe, just maybe, Romney would have won the presidency. Maybe, maybe, just maybe, Barack Obama could have been a one-term president. Meanwhile, you've got the First Lady of the United States making this pronouncement at the White House a little while ago that are, you know, that Kamala Harris is the next president of the United States. And then she backs off of it and corrects herself and says she was just joking. Let's listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the the vice president of the I just said that to make you laugh.
Uh-huh. Anybody, you think, really? You think that was a joke? It just rolled right off of her tongue. There wasn't a pause. There was normally, if you're going to do something like that, you're going to put a pregnant pause in, which is an elongated pause. But it just rolled right off the tongue.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the vice president.
You
of
see,
the-
no, she caught herself. All right, what the heck's going on up there? Oh, dadgummit, I said it again. And dadgummit, too. Golly, bum. Oh, jeez.
Watch your profanity.
All right. So there you have it. Can I just ask a very simple question? And I know this may trigger a lot of folks, but based on what we just heard from the First Lady, si se puede, what we just heard from the First Lady, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden, who exactly is in charge right now at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Who is calling the shots? Just asking. Because the First Lady just introduced the president and identified her as Kamala Harris. So what do they know that they're not telling the rest of us? We may explore that question tomorrow. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. Great to be back with you in our beautiful Liberty University studios here in Memphis, Tennessee. Have a great one, America. We'll see you tomorrow.